The following content is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.
Bringing you a passion for health and wellness, Dr. Omar Uliwa is here to answer your pharmaceutical questions. Now, let's go in the pharmacy with Earl Ingram and Dr. Omar.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Thursday at 9 o'clock. That means the one and only Dr. Omar, the proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy, is in the studio. Good morning to you, Dr. Omar. How you doing, sir?
Morning, Earl. How are you today?
All right. It's always good to see you. How are you doing? Have you overcome your malady?
I'm drinking a lot of anise tea, A-N-I-S-E.
What is that?
Which is an herb. It's like anise or anise. Say, call it what you call it. It's a form of tea that we use in the herbal medicine, because it has a lot of compounds that help with coughing and thinning the mucus. And it's just fascinating that sometimes you just need to take it. If you have chronic cough, you get it, get the raw tea from any store or even online, and you put it in hot water and you put honey. And I keep sipping from it all day long so I can talk and speak and not have a problem with coughing. So it is just one of the herbs that we use in different OTC herbal products. But I think it's great to share with the listeners.
So, you know, for those of you who may just be joining us, you are now in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar on the Earl Ingram Show. So, Dr. Omar, as always, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You got a question or comment? By all means, join us, and Dr. Omar will do his best to respond to whatever it is you are talking about. So Dr. Omar, what do you have lined up for us to kick us off this morning?
I was thinking last night that I want to talk to you about shed some light on one of the most important compounds that we make in the compounding labs, in compounding pharmacies. It is called LDN, or low-dose naltrexone, which is typically prescribed at higher doses for opioid or alcohol dependence. It's a very old drug, more than 60 years old. In the compounding, we use it at low doses because LDN has been explored for potential anti-inflammatory and immune-modulating effects, so it works on immune conditions, chronic pains, IBS, Hashimoto thyroiditis, helps with certain cancers. It is a medication that's my number one compound that comes from my compounding lab. For me and many other compounding pharmacies, we see how it helps patients from having pain level of 8 and 9 to pain level of 1 and 2 in most days. The first time that I made a low-dose naltrexone prescription, it was for a crippled patient after an accident. 3 years later, or five years later, she called me and she told me, now I can move, I am active, and the only medication I take is LDN. Also, LDN has very high safety profile. Drug interactions are all known. It's been in the market for more than 60 years as a medication in very high dose, so we know how it works. Increases endorphins in the body. Endorphins are natural pain-relieving chemicals produced by the body also boosts mood and provide a sense of well-being. It's a compound that provides a lot of hope for patients that have lost hope because they have tried so many medications for their conditions and they did not work. And what I want to tell you also, Earl, is that I'm happy that many doctors now know about LDN, low-dose naltrexone, so we have less resistance of practitioners to prescribe it, because unfortunately, we don't have a lot of drug reps that talk about it and about its benefits because there is no money in it for big pharma companies. All right, so we, I think me and a lot of other pharmacists across the nation are talking about it and about its benefits, for maximum benefits for patients with tough conditions and at the same time, a very low side effect profile.
So people who don't know what you use the term compound, and, you know, that's commonplace with pharmacists, but to the average person, what are you talking about when you say compound?
Cooking medications in the lab, like cooking medications in the lab. Instead of leaving it to the pharma, big pharma companies, I make this compound from the raw active ingredients just for you, because you have a condition that the big pharma companies don't have the medication for you. They are not going to invest in making a specific formula just for you, because maybe you have pain and I need to use three or four different active ingredients. Let's say I'm going to use ibuprofen, and I'm going to use cyclobenzaprine, and I'm going to use magnesium. These are three different medications that there is nothing in the market that can put it, let's say, in a topical formula to help with pain in your arm. You cannot take something orally to help this pain because it's going to maybe affect your gut health. So the doctor orders a cream with those three ingredients. So I make it from the, I buy the raw materials and I have a formula according to the, we are inspected by the FDA. We're actually heavily regulated by the FDA. They allow us to compound because guess what? This is how medicine has started as medications thousands of years ago. A formula that you work in the lab, you make it, you give it to the patient. 50, 60 years ago, when the big pharma companies came into the market, pharmacies stopped compounding because it became readily available on the shelf. Fill, bill, give the patient the medication. But there is this 1% of pharmacies that still spend time and effort and science to create those compounds. And it has a plus and a minus. The plus is that it can give benefits and hopes to patients that cannot get their medications elsewhere. The negative point is that it's most of the time not paid by the insurance, so the patient pay outside of the insurance, out of pocket for those compounds.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You are now in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar on the Earl Ingram Show. Good morning to you, Cindy from Appleton. You say what?
Good morning. Well, I'll tell you what, doctor. I picked up that RSV virus the week before Thanksgiving. It will not let go of me. I can't stop coughing. My voice will come and go for a few days. I get it, and then a couple of days later, it's gone. I have the most disgusting stuff coming out of me continuously. I've been on three different rounds of antibiotics. I've tried everything over the counter. Do you have something that might be more holistic that I could try, because I am just at my wit's end with this?
I have some general recommendations for you that are main that you need to follow through with to just kind of get your health back in track. First of all, you have to make sure that you're not coughing much. So rest your voice. Use over-the-counter herbal remedies for cough, like anesthesia that I was just describing. Drink maybe two or three cups a day. Of course, talk to your doctor about this, but they're going to approve for sure because these are natural things you can do. So make sure that you're just kind of resting your voice and supporting your immune system, taking like considerate doses of vitamin C, zinc, NAC. You need to kind of rebuild your gut health because you took three rounds of antibiotics, which affects your, just one type of antibiotic, if you're taking it, can affect your gut health, your stomach, your absorption of food, everything that you eat for almost 6 months. So we have to work on getting good form of probiotics and kind of help you kind of recover just on the gut level. So you can go to my website, schedule a consultation, and I'll help you with a plan, and I will communicate this plan to your health provider. But in general, make sure that you rest your voice, you help and support your immune system with vitamin C, D, zinc, quercetin, NAC, and it's going. Hopefully, you're going to get better soon.
Cindy?
The website again? Yep.
Yes, so I just...
She wanted your website, Dr. Omar.
Yeah, welltopiarx.com, welltopiarx.com.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call, Cindy. You know, Dr. Omar, when you talk about creating these compounds, for people who don't know, you know, how many years does it take to become a pharmacist?
Takes 6 years now to become a pharmacist after finishing the 2 years or 4 years of undergrad. So it takes about 6 to 7 years to become a pharmacist.
And continued education, right?
Continued education. But the problem is that compounding became a very short course during the schooling years. So continuing education is the key. So like if you are interested in compounding, you have to be an intern in a compounding pharmacy. You have to go for trainings. You have to learn what's happening because we don't learn how to make formulas long enough in pharmacy schools to help us with doing different compounding compounds that we have to do. It's just kind of a continuing education for life.
Yeah, I would think it would be, and so clearly you know you're a doctor of medication, and as doctors have to continue with their educations, so do you. 844-967-2789 is the number, guys. Hang on, it's Thursday. That means you're in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy, on the Earl Ingram Show. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And Gail from Kenosha, good morning to you, Gail. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, I want to thank you for having this opportunity. I'm just wondering, because nobody's talking about it anymore, about the COVID vaccine. I had my last booster in late September. So I've been 7 months between shots now. And how often are we supposed to be getting the COVID vaccine now?
That's a great question.
If you got the COVID vaccine last in late December, as of 2023, 2024, there is a recommendation to vaccinate. You might need a booster shot now, and it's the exact same COVID vaccine like the one that you got before. we are waiting to get an update for the winter season, okay? But if you got your dose late in December, it's according to, if you are immune compromised, you might qualify for an extra shot for the COVID vaccine from Pfizer or Moderna.
Okay. Actually, it was in late September, not December.
Late September? So, okay. All right.
Yeah. And I'm 67 years old, so that, I guess, kind of says that I'm compromised, right?
Yeah, you can get a booster shot if you got it at that time. The challenge is to find the pharmacy that has the COVID vaccine. There, you might find more prevalent of the Moderna vaccine than the Pfizer because of the easier way to store the Moderna vaccine. And I recommend to people who want to get the booster shot not to stick with Pfizer or Moderna, but just to take whatever is available because patients are searching for the Pfizer vaccine and it's hard to find now due to the expense on the pharmacies to get it. You might find it more in the hospitals, but many of the pharmacies will have the Moderna vaccine. If you find it, take it just because otherwise you might wait for a long time before you get your planned COVID vaccine.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, Gail, thank you very much for the call. Look, Dr. Omar, you just made me start thinking. It wasn't so long ago that these vaccines were so prevalent, and now they're clearly not producing them the way they once did because the threat of COVID has subsided, and so all these manufacturers who invested all this money in making sure that these things were so readily available have now kind of closed shop on most of them?
Actually, funny thing, it's available. You can buy it, but it's just very expensive now to buy it. So for me as a pharmacy to buy, let's say, Pfizer vaccine, I have to buy 10 shots. That's going to cost me about $1,200, expire in 1 month.
Wow.
If I don't give them within a month, they expire. Same for children vaccines, expire in 1 month. So the challenge is like pharmacies would stock the vaccines and they expire and we can do nothing with them. So that's logistically became hard to acquire them because the government's no more paying for
right.
the vaccine. Your insurance is paying for it. The challenge is like you have to stock them and it became a burden on most pharmacies. So the Moderna vaccine, you can put it in the freezer so it stays longer time with you. But it became challenging to acquire, to keep the medications and the vaccines for COVID because the government is no more paying for them. You have to pay them similar to buying any other drugs. So it just became a search for the COVID vaccine. And it's sad because you suddenly from giving it to everybody, now you have to find where it is, make sure your insurance is paying for it. And it became kind of more steps to get the vaccine. So we are still seeing the COVID hitting people, but the data are making it stay in the background when it comes to the risk of what viruses people are getting. We're now seeing more RSV. We're now seeing more shingles. Shingles is coming back. People are getting more shingles. And I want to tell people, please don't forget to take your shingles vaccine, one of the best vaccines ever created, can protect you up to 97% from the getting the shingles, which is very rough on the immune system.
And
I really wish not to see anyone with shingles.
And as I've stated in the past, I've had shingles, and I would say to people in the listening audience, if you can prevent getting shingles, do everything you can within your power to not contract it, because not only is it so painful once you get it, the possibility of you getting it a second time increase tremendously.
Yeah.
So I'm just speaking from the experience of a person who's had it.
Yeah, me too. I had it when I was 35 years old, planning for my future, and I was under a lot of stress and not taking the right supplements and deprived of sleep. Suddenly, I have the rash on my arm, and it was very painful. And I was saved by a formula, a compounding formula that someone recommended to me. My doctor wrote it right away. I used it like 5 times a day. I didn't have to use a single ibuprofen or a painkiller. And for a whole week, I used this as a pain reliever, and it helped me to get better. But I wouldn't wish this pain for anyone. And I'm seeing also younger ages getting shingles in the 30s and the 20s, and this is kind of scary.
So part of this, Dr. Omar, that people are now leery of these things and they're willing to take the risk because of what they've heard somebody else say about the vaccination. And if they really knew and could foresee the pain that they would experience, they would never listen to whoever that is that's telling them not to get that vaccination.
Yeah, and that's why I'm trying to tell the story every single time. You know, I have people that come with pain in their eyes, and the doctor doesn't know what it is. And okay, I'll tell you a funny story. My aunt, she's a pharmacist. Okay, she's a pharmacist in New York, and she didn't at that time the new vaccine was not out, and suddenly she have like big pain in her eye. She lost her eyesight in one of her eyes. And the neurologist didn't know what it was, but my cousin, she was at that time 19, a student in medical school. She looked at next to the eye and she saw a little pimple, and she told her this is shingles. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said yes, it is shingles. And she started a course of treatment, and it was the shingles that affected her eye and made her retire. And she just told me, like, I kept postponing the vaccine, and now I am suffering from it. I am the pharmacist that tell people take the vaccine. So anyone can be a victim to a vicious virus because of not listening to science and not listening to experience and not listening to the authorities who know what they're talking about.
844-967-2789 is the number. You're in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar. Hang on the phone lines. We'll come to you. 844-967-2789. You've now entered into In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar on the Earl Ingram Show. Questions or comments? Welcome back to In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to give Dr. Omar a call at 844-967-2789. Let's do this, Dr. Omar. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from LA. Go ahead, Tom.
Good morning, Dr. Omar. Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Dr. Omar, I have two questions, actually. You were talking about the LDN, and I'm just wondering, is that something you can only get from you, or is that something we can get from other pharmacists? That's my one question. My second question is, my mother suffers from restless leg syndrome horribly. What would you recommend for restless leg syndrome?
All right. That's a very good two questions.
Hey, Tom, thank you for the call.
Thank you, Tom. Low-dose naltrexone can be, it's a prescription-based, any compounding pharmacy can make it. You have wonderful compounding pharmacies in LA. So just, you can Google compounding pharmacies in my area. You will find it, call the nearest one, check their reviews. It's just important that you deal with a reputable pharmacy. But any compounding pharmacy can get you low-dose naltrexone. It can connect you with practitioners with experience in prescribing low-dose naltrexone. That's your first question. Your second question for restless leg syndrome. There are more than one options that you can do for restless leg syndrome, but one of the easy solutions is to take magnesium glycinate, about 300 or 250 or 300 milligram in the evening before bedtime, or working on taking enough electrolytes. That can be a supplement and can be just by taking sodium chlorine magnesium. One of the easy, simple ways for restless leg syndrome is to just take a tablespoon of soy sauce before going to sleep. It's a trick for restless leg syndrome. It can be tricky. I have some patients that see benefits from using CBD oil with restless leg syndrome. So it can be a trial and error for certain things. And there is, of course, a line of medications like Mirapex, Rekeep, Neurontin. But I try to use the simplest option. So I try to use magnesium or calcium magnesium as a good supplement. Glycinate and citrate forms are better. I try to use, if there is problem with electrolytes, I try to replace that. And if medications are needed, a doctor can be asked. And of course, I like to run everything with my provider. And a simple, easy trick is to just take a tablespoon of soy sauce. It can be high in sodium, so just watch for that for patients with high blood pressure. But these are the options, and be more than happy to answer any questions you send to my website as well.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call, Tom. Do you need a shingle vaccination booster?
That's a very good question, because the series of the Shingrix vaccine is two shots. Take one today, and the number two is from month number 2 to 6. If you take those two shots, you are good for at least 4 years. Studies are showing that those two shots are good for up to 7 years. There is no booster shots for shingles at this time. But if you got it a few years ago and you are worried about your health, this is what you do. You take a good formula for immune support all year long. Good formula that has about 500 milligram of vitamin C, that has vitamin D, at least 2,500 units, in acetylcysteine, quercetin. We have an excellent product called Wellmune, Wellmune at Wiltopia, with top research supplements to support the immune health. You take it every day to support your immune system. You sleep well, you decrease stress. That's how you keep shingles away.
Let me ask you, Dr. Omar, these things are so, involved. Here's 10 medications that may raise your risk of kidney damage. Certain medications called naproxenic medications can damage your kidneys. Let me ask you, so when you have doctors prescribe these medications, and so for whatever your malady is, and you don't know these severe kind of side effects, I mean, when a doctor prescribes something that can cause and risk kidney damage, what are we to do? Whatever they're prescribing the medication for, it's got to be worse than kidney damage.
You know, the problem early that these medications, when they are prescribed, the doctor meant for it to be short term, so not damage the kidney. But the challenge for something like naproxen, it's an over-the-counter. And if the patient felt relief after using it prescribed, they go buy it over-the-counter and they stay on it for years and they get kidney damage. And I see patients young in the 20s and the 30s, and they tell me like that they have a problem with kidney function because they have been taking those non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like naproxen, ibuprofen, and other medications. And they don't drink enough water. They don't monitor the kidney function until it's too late. So you have to always ask this question after you take a medication for a week or 2 weeks. Do I need to stick with this medication? What are the side effects? What are the alternatives? Because at the end of the day, there is going to be a personalized plan for you based on your own research for your health and based on the questions that you ask. And now we have a lot of sources of information, validated information that we can go through. And I always check with your health professionals, people who have a license to worry about and care for. Ask your pharmacist, your doctor, whoever comes in your way that know what they're talking about, ask them these questions because you're responsible for your health. It's everyone is responsible for their own health or the beloved one's health. So we have to support each other there.
So when you're talking about the medications, and this is a very important question, and that many people in this audience who are taking medications don't know, because I didn't know it until having heard you say it. Just because you've been prescribed medication, it doesn't mean you keep taking this medication for the rest of your life. But who cuts it off? The pharmacy isn't going to cut off the medication. And your doctor, you may be taking medications that were prescribed by a doctor from years gone by, and yet you're still taking those medications. How do you discern that?
Do you go to your current doctor and tell him, do I need to take this medication? Are my labs saying that I need to take this medication? Question and challenge the idea of continuing on all of your medications and hear what the doctor have to say. Because many times when we ask the doctors about, I do medication therapy management, in which I look at the whole profile of what the patient is taking, and I communicate with practitioners to ask them about the validation for certain medications that don't work again, that don't work together. And 95% of the time, the doctor tell me it's okay to do the changes. So the problem when you move between provider to provider, easy prescribed medications like naproxen, like ibuprofen, like omeprazole, pantoprazole, things that can mask the actual problem that you have in your body. These are easily prescribed, have low side effect profile, and easy to continue on longer term, and that's where the other health problems happen. So educate yourself about the smart questions that you can ask about medications. Some of them are for high blood pressure, and your blood pressure is high without these medications and other medications. It's just one doctor wrote it years ago, and they just continue with writing the refills. Pharmacy asks for the refills. They come back because they're easy medications to there is what we can say, like easy medications to prescribe. And that's what where the patient has to take hold of their health and ask questions. And for elderly ones, the relatives, the sons, the daughters, the kids, the people who care for, we have to question and make sure that our family members are getting the care that they deserve. Because I get this question multiple times. Does my mother need to take this medication? I see that she's always tired, she's always sick. The circle of care is very important. Patient, pharmacist, doctor, and I would like to add to it a family member who cares, you know, very important.
So what's the difference between heart rate and blood pressure?
The blood pressure is when we need it between 120 over 80. And this is the higher number and the lower number. The heart rate, how many beats in 1 minute? And the number should be less than 100, optimum less than that. So when the smart devices can measure the heart rate, they cannot measure the blood pressure. The blood pressure, you need a blood pressure monitoring machine. And you can get like a cheap one that goes over the arm, a cuff over the arm. And you just need to renew it every 2 years. And checking blood pressure for anyone who is above 35, I would say, would be recommended about twice a week. and anyone on blood pressure medication, because you can go to the doctor's office and your blood pressure is disciplined, white coat effect, or maybe high. But if you go to the doctor's office and you have checked your blood pressure and you keep a log of the history, that is much better, so the doctor can know your blood pressure over the time. Another tip I want to say about blood pressure: when you wake up in the morning, your blood pressure is usually worse due to a cycle that happens for the blood in the veins and the arteries through the night. So it becomes high in the morning. So I recommend, if you wake up through the night, just go around in the house or in the apartment and then go back to sleep, because that breaks a cycle that makes the blood pressure high in the morning.
So where do I get a blood pressure cup? My arms are bigger than any of those cups. So where do I get a cup? And I notice this, I talk with a lot of guys, a lot of people who the cups aren't sufficient. So where do we get a cup that we can?
You can
that can fit our arms.
Walmart, Walgreens, CVS.
No. They don't. They don't have the cups that are big enough.
That's what I tell you.
Right.
This is what I do. I buy it online from a retailer like Amazon, and I put in the what I'm looking for, large cuff for the arm, large cuff for the arm, and then we get it, we fit the patient, and if it's not what they like, I return it back and I get another one. So it can be like you can try different brands to find the right one. And after recommendation, after you get the blood pressure monitoring machine, go to the pharmacy so the pharmacist can show you how to measure the blood pressure correctly.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar. Omar, the pharmacist of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mequon, Thingsville. Hang on the lines. 844-967-2789. Don't touch that dial. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the proprietor of
Welltopia Pharmacy
in Mequon, Thingsville. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And Al, hey Al, how you doing, man?
My question is about what the doctor was talking about, taking medicine forever. I had a blood clot in my leg, and I was prescribed Eliquis, and I took it. I've been taking it for 4 years, but 2 years after I started taking it, the blood clot went away. The doctors told me I have to take it forever because my blood is thickening. I asked the question, what is causing my blood to thicken? I asked several different doctors, and nobody can give me an answer.
So just to put the basics of the blood clots, there is history of blood clot. Your body can make a blood clot for a certain reason. Whatever is the reason, if you had a previous blood clot, you might have another one. Eliquis is a medication taken twice a day to prevent this from happening. If you know that it might be a genetic factor, it might be sensitivity to something that you eat, it might be any reason, but this is a condition that make you at high risk. And according to the guidelines followed by the doctors, they have to put you on a blood thinner to make sure that your blood is not thickening so you wouldn't have a blood clot again. So I think this is one of the situations, unless you have a contraindication to Eliquis, you have to continue with this medication or with another medication that helps with the same effect. But it can be many things, man. It can be lifestyle factor, diagnostics. It can be a genetic factor. So I wouldn't worry much about this medication, but I wouldn't worry much about discontinuing this important medication because I've seen patients that discontinued medications like Eliquis on their own, and they had a blood clot following that. So your doctor is going to be every maybe 6 months or 1 year is going to do blood work for you, and according to the guidelines will have you continue on this medication or tell you to change it or tell you something else. The only thing is if you have contraindication to the medication, that's when, you know, there's other things that you can take. But this is one of the medications I wouldn't touch or think about for the time being for you.
Okay. As I said, my question is not all of that. It's about what is causing my blood to thicken in the first place. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I see what you say. Well, it means blood thickening is increasing the viscosity or the tendency of the blood to clot more easily than normal. So there is like normal way of blood thickening. If you get a kind of a cut in your arm or something, you would form a clot to prevent you from bleeding to death practically. So there is people that have a problem that their blood thickens inside the vessels. Right. So is it genetic? Maybe. Is it something that you eat? Maybe. That's what we call underlying. Maybe there is another health condition that you have that causes it to thicken. But I think in order to know exactly why, you might need more extensive blood work to know why.
So,
doctors don't want to spend much more time, to be honest with you, just to save you trips to doctors. Many doctors are not going to worry much about why your blood is thickening, but they just want to worry. Their priority is to prevent this from happening again.
So Dr. Omar, so let's say I've got a lot of medications that over the years, you know, and over the months I've gotten stored up. And I want to get rid of these. And I want to get rid of these medications. What do I do with them?
I tell you what to do.
I don't throw them in the garbage or flush them down the toilet, do I?
I know. So for all the medications, if I understand you correctly, the old medications that kind of leftovers in bottles, bring them back to the pharmacy, the nearby pharmacy. Bring them back because there is a take-back program.
Oh, really?
The pharmacist will take back medications. So the old medications, bring them back. Oh. Never, ever move pills from one bottle to another bottle, even if you see the tablets the same. Don't do that. Always get fresh supply from the pharmacy because concentrations can differ. Expiration date can differ. So always use the fresh supply. When we give you a medication in a closed bottle, most of the medications, the dry tablets and capsules, are good for 1 year from the time that you take it from the pharmacy. So to decrease confusion, just use a fresh new prescription that you get from the pharmacy.
You know, something as simplistic as that, what you just said, is a huge answer to a question that many of us, you know, who've been taking medications have. We've all got medications that you know, that are stored up. And the fact that you said, because I've been guilty of this, I'll take the, if I've got some pills left over, I put them in the bottle with the new ones. And you're saying don't do that.
Yeah, Earl, you're taking 7 or 8 medications over the years. You're going to get confused and put wrong medication in the wrong bottle. As a consultant pharmacist over the years, this thousands of medication consultation, the number one reason for medication error is because patients are putting pills in different bottles. And they give it to me and they tell me, what is this? I thought that they are the same thing. And now I realize the print is different. And I have to look up the internet and the resources to figure out what they have inside the bottle. And I see disasters. So use the fresh medications that you get from the from the pharmacy and bring back what you have as old supply. Clean your medication cabinet.
As always, Dr. Omar, great information. Always appreciate it. It's always a great time. It's always too short. In the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mequon in Thiensville. We'll talk to you soon, Dr. Omar. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Up next, Jane Madnair and Greg Bach. Madnair on air. See you guys later.